Well, shall we turn to John chapter 8 for this evening's message, this gospel message from John chapter 8. I have my eyes on a couple of verses, verse 24, 28 and 58. But verse 24 I can mention first of all. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And there we have in verse 28 that phrase, then shall ye know that I am he, when Christ is crucified and lifted up. And verse 58 is also relevant this evening. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And that phrase in particular, I am he, or I am, Christ, the I am is the title, I suppose, of the message this evening. What we have here essentially is our Saviour telling the Jews and also telling us tonight through the Scriptures, unless you believe who I am, you will die in your sins. It makes believing who Jesus Christ is very important, therefore. Note the words again, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And we should take note of those words. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. As I thought of these words, I followed this kind of logic initially, a path of faith, you could say, towards being saved. There is a basic belief in the Scriptures and who Christ is. And that basic belief may well lead you to saving faith, where you lean upon him and follow him. But if you have no basic faith or belief in the Scriptures or who Christ is, you cannot possibly lean upon him and follow him. Having said that, the more I thought about it and the words of Christ, even though there is that logic, believing who Christ is and then trusting him in saving faith, that conversion experience, the more I thought about it, the more I thought it's really one faith. Because we're not talking about just factual faith, whether Jesus Christ existed. Because the devils do that, don't they? They know that. This is a God-given faith in who he is. And when it is God-given, it leads on to trusting him and believing in him. So in a sense, it is one thing. And I'm sure that was in the Saviour's words here. Unless you believe who I am, you shall die in your sins. And he was capturing everything there. You believe who I am, you believe in my being, and you believe I'm the Saviour, and you trust me. I'm sure it was all there. But I know that for some of you, and if not all of you, this can be a complex matter that troubles you. In this godless world we live in, a cynical approach to the things of God, they speak with such confidence, don't they, in their godless manner. And I'm sure that you are shaken from time to time. You might ask the question, are these things real? Is Christ indeed who he says he is? But those little moments of doubt, shall we say, or questioning or uncertainty, perhaps is a better word, is quite different from basic unbelief and a rejection of who Christ is and what he has done. But I trust this evening that the Lord will bring us to a great reality, and we might see who he is. And if we have not already, we might believe in him. And not just a factual belief, that's there, of course, but an understanding that who Christ is and what he has done, and stepping over into that trust in him, that conversion experience where you have faith in him, God-given faith. It's a powerful thing. These things are not man-made. It's not you deciding, although you must, as we heard this afternoon, with the door, the sense that the latch is on your side of the door. You must believe. God doesn't believe for you. His power is in your believing, but you must believe. And most certainly, that is there, that you must believe. But God is in it. And as my father was preaching this afternoon, and how right that is, you must believe. Then I thought, well, the power of God takes the hand on the latch and opens the door. That's my thought as he was preaching. Yes, we must believe, but God is in it. I trust God will be with you this evening as you hear the gospel, that you might believe. Otherwise, you will die in your sins. Well, with the time remaining, I want to look at some statements from the scriptures and from these verses, based on these verses, regarding Jesus Christ. And the first thing I want to do is really take in the immediate context we have in verse 24 and 28 and 58, that these words convey to us that who Jesus Christ is, that I am, and Christ would speak, maybe I use the words on behalf of Christ, I am Jehovah Jesus. We think of the words there, believe that I am. And there's much of the divinity and the origin of Christ in these words. I am Jehovah Jesus. See, the Jews here were bringing up the matter of Abraham. If you read the passage, you'll see there later on, they bring up the matter of Abraham. And in verse 58, Christ replies to them in a most remarkable way, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. It's a very unusual answer. It's very striking, the phrase, I am. Because here was our Savior Jesus Christ speaking to the Jews many years after the death of Abraham. He does not say, before Abraham, I was. He says, before Abraham, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. He doesn't say, before Abraham was, I was. He says, before Abraham was, I am. Very striking answer. And of course, it speaks of somebody who not only existed before Abraham, but it speaks of somebody who did not come into existence. That's the point, isn't it? I am. It speaks of somebody who is eternal. And of course, once you say he's eternal, then the next matter comes into mind. He is not only eternal, he is divine. He is God. And in this small expression, there is the eternity of Christ and also the divinity of Christ, that he is God. Indeed, the very phrase, I am, has an Old Testament resonance about it. And it goes to the very expression of God to Moses, when Moses was communing with the Lord, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am, in Exodus 3, verse 14. That was the great revelation to Moses. Who are you? And God says, I am that I am. A fascinating response from our God. I am the self-existent one. I am the eternal one. I am that I am. And he goes on to say, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. I am that I am. When Christ uses these phrases, and he does on a few occasions, there is this note of divinity that comes through. When he says, I am, the Old Testament comes into picture, into view. I am that I am. And here's perhaps the first thing, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the great I am? I am that I am. Here he was in the middle of the Jews speaking to them. And he was saying to them, do you know who I am? I am. I am the great God. Oh, that your heart might begin to rise above the clouds of your confused thinking and your dark reasoning. You might be able to be lifted up and see the greatness of God in Jesus Christ, that he is Jehovah Jesus. That's who he is. Oh, if only these Jews knew who they were speaking to. They spoke about Abraham all the time, and there they had Jehovah before them. It's quite poignant, isn't it? Do you know who I am? Christ was saying to them, do you know who he is yourself? Well, let's go on. And the second thing I might bring to you through these words is that Christ might say, I am the God of Abraham. That's very much in the context here. Before Abram was, I am. We might go back to Genesis 18. And there we see three men approaching Abraham. And one of these three was Christ. It becomes very obvious when two of the three leave towards Sodom for that great judgment. And Abraham was left with the one who was called the Lord. The Lord. And there Abraham communed with the Lord. Abraham was very important to the Jews, wasn't he? He was the father of the nation. But they had before him the God of the nation. The Lord Jesus Christ. The great I am. Oh, he was greater than Abraham. They thought they had him. Do you think you're greater than Abraham? Oh, yes. Was the answer, I am greater than Abraham. I am the God of Abraham. Do you believe in these words? Do you understand who Christ is? Let's go on to Isaac. Christ could say from these words, I am the God of Isaac. If we work through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I am the God of Isaac. And there we see Christ again, this time particularly in the sacrifice on Mount Moriah. And there, you remember, Abraham was taking Isaac and the command of God to make a sacrifice, and Isaac was that sacrifice. And just when he was about to strike Isaac, God called out to him and held his hand, so to speak. And there he provided a sacrifice in the place of Isaac, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Oh, what words they are. The Lord will provide a sacrifice. You see, Christ was there too. I am that sacrifice. Christ was saying in so many words, I am the Lamb of God. I am that sacrifice. Do you understand that he is the great Jehovah, but he's also the Lamb of God, the chosen sacrifice of God? If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Oh, do you understand the importance of my being? As we said this morning, our Savior did not hold back from speaking the importance of who he was. And we're so glad he did not hold back. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the rose of Sharon. And here I am. Because we need to know that. We need to know who he is. And he was telling these Jews. And these Jews, many, some believed and many did not. But these Jews were being told, do you realize who I am? If you don't believe who I am, you will die in your sins. Let's go on to Jacob. Oh, our Lord Jesus Christ has a remarkable history in the Old Testament. Oh, he appears everywhere there. And we see with Jacob at the beginning of his lonely journey. And you remember he receives a vision at Bethel. And there, this vision was a ladder or stairs between earth and heaven. Who was this ladder? Who was the stairs? It was Christ again. And he cries out, as you remember, this is none other but the house of God and the gate of heaven. It's the gate of heaven. And there, Jacob had a vision of Christ, that Christ is the gate of heaven. He is that ladder, that stairway, from this fallen world, from this sinful world, into a holy heaven. There's no way we can transfer from a sinful world to a holy heaven without a Redeemer and a Savior who will deal with our sins and prepare us to meet God. And again with Jacob, this time at Peniel, there he wrestled and struggled with the angel of the Lord. Who was the angel of the Lord? Who was the one who blessed him? But Christ. Oh, if the Jews only understood who they had before him. They had Bethel before them. They had Peniel before them. Do you believe in these things? That Christ is the ladder and the blessing? If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. You are lost. You are hopeless. You are in your sins. Disastrous condition. You will die in your sins unless you understand who I am. I've come to help you understand who I am, Christ is saying. Let's go on to Moses in these words, although they speak of Abraham. We could bring in Moses. I am the God of Moses. Here our Savior appears again. So many times does Christ appear in the wilderness. You see, many of the manifestations, the theophanies we call them, God manifesting himself in some physical manner, they're Christ. That's how God the Father has chosen to manifest himself. They're Christ. And we think of the rock. That rock was Christ, we read in the New Testament. The rock that gave the water to the children of Israel in the wilderness. There they were thirsty, and out came this flood of water. And it must have been a flood of water because there were so many of them to drink, and they were thirsty. It must have been a great flood, a great river of water. That rock was Christ. Also the burning bush. Who do you think the burning bush was? We read of the angel of the Lord appearing in the burning bush. It was Christ. Christ was a burning bush. All these holy incidents in the Old Testament the Jews were so familiar with. And Christ was saying, I am. I am. He is the rock and he is the water. Let's go to the book of Judges. We pass over many examples by doing that. But bringing one example from the book of Judges, Manoah and his wife, to give one example. You might recall, Christ appeared to them. They didn't realize at first that it was Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord. And there, this angel of the Lord says to them what his name is. My name is Secret. By that he meant it's above understanding. It's sublime. Belongs to the eternity of the Godhead. My name is Secret. I am the glorious God in the second person, Father, Son, and Spirit, the eternal union, the Trinity of God. And he was revealing himself to them. My name is Secret, or it could be translated, my name is Wonderful. It's beyond expression. That's who I am. Unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins, says Christ. There with Manoah, you might recall, there was a very special incident. They made a sacrifice. And there in that sacrifice, in the flames, this angel of the Lord did wondrous things and then rose in the flames of the sacrifice and disappeared from their sight. He identified with the sacrifice. It was a message even then to Manoah and his wife, that I am the sacrifice, that I am the Lamb of God. Yes, I am God. I am the second person of the Godhead, but I am the one chosen out of the Godhead to become a sacrifice for men and women. I am the Lamb of God. I am, says the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we might go on to David. I am the God of David. How familiar David was to the Jews. He was both the son of David and the Lord of David. He was David's greatest son. And here again, very similar to Abraham. Before Abraham was I am, a very similar thing again. Here was somebody who was the son of David, who was after David, who was after Abraham, but before Abraham and before David. He was the son of David and the Lord of David. Do you understand who I am? Says Christ. Or do you have a small view of the gospel? Do you have a small view of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you understand the purposes of God, the eternal purposes of God, that he sent from the Godhead, the second person, the blessed Son, to become our Savior? Have you somehow lost the concept of the wonder of the gospel? Or maybe you never understood it. That God in his mercy has sent the Son into this world, his own Son, who is God, but became man. Oh, the mercy of God. And all this is contained in the blessed person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe not that I am he, these are the implications. You shall die in your sins because there's no other way to help you. Let's go on to the vision of Isaiah. I am the vision of Isaiah. And there in chapter 6, we see Isaiah had a wonderful vision, a life-changing vision. Who was that vision? Again, it was Christ. Again, we see Christ. He cries out, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He felt he would die. He felt his uncleanness because he had seen the glory, and only the perimeter of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, in the book of Isaiah, we read of the one who is called the suffering servant. And here's the mystery of the Bible again. The one who is so glorious, God has chosen to become the suffering servant, to deal with our sins. What a mercy it is. Oh, these things are so high, and yet there is a depth to these things as well. As Christ came to this world and died on the cross, and we see that cross, don't we, in chapter 53 of Isaiah. And Christ could say to them, I am chapter 53, if they had chapters in those days, because they didn't. But we do. I am chapter 53 of the book of Isaiah. I am the suffering servant. I am the man of sorrows. That is me. And how important it is that you believe that is me. I am Jehovah, but I'm also the sacrifice. This is the gospel. I have the power to save because of who I am. I am God. I'm also man. And I have become the sacrifice. As we heard recently, and I have to confess you, I was greatly moved in preparing that message on the fountain as I thought of that the Holy One has become a fountain for the sin and uncleanness of mankind. That he who is holy and without sin and glorious becomes a fountain for us to be washed in. But this is the gospel. And if you don't believe this, you will die in your sins. You won't avail of me because I'm the fountain. I'm the fountain of Zechariah. If you don't believe this, you will not plunge in my blood. You will not wash your sins away. You will remain in your sins. And that is no way to come before a holy God. And then we might go on to Jeremiah, that Christ is the righteousness of the book of Jeremiah. I am the righteousness. And there we read in Jeremiah 23 these words, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. He says there, I can remove your sins. I can be your righteousness. But if you do not believe I am he, you shall die in your sins and not in righteousness. But I am the righteousness, not just for myself. I am Jehovah Tsidkenu. I am the righteousness of my people. That's who I am. Oh, what a Savior he is. He does everything that we need. You see, a great work is required for us to know a holy God. Our sins must be removed, and we must have a righteousness. And Christ does that. He goes to Calvary. He takes our sins. He is the Lamb of God. He is also Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. And he gives us righteousness. Oh, blessed Jesus. We sang this morning, more of Jesus. And if you're not a believer, you should say that. More of Jesus. Let me hear of him, that I might believe in him. The Lord Jesus Christ is the righteousness. Is it possible that I should enter heaven, that I should climb the stairs that Jacob saw and enter heaven and enter in righteousness? Yes, if you are on Christ and in Christ. Yes, indeed. That is exactly what Christ is saying. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. But there is a reverse there. If you believe that I am he, you shall not die in your sins. Because I will be your righteousness. I am the righteousness of my people. I am the sacrifice of my people. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, you and the Son, he's everything. And you must believe in him. You must take hold of him. He's everything you need. But if you do not believe, the implications are very clear before us this evening. You shall die in your sins. Our Savior says through these words also, I am the greater glory spoken by Haggai. And there we read, don't we, of that fascinating description that speaks of a greater glory than the glory of the temple of Solomon. And the people looked at the second temple. Oh, where is the glory? I can't see the glory of the second temple. The first temple was much more glorious. But of course, Christ entering that temple in his ministry, where he would come into that temple and preach the truth and preach himself, was that greater glory. Jehovah, Jesus, would enter that temple, that he was the greater glory. He was amongst the Jews, and they saw it not. And those Jews, most of them, will have died in their sins, even though the Christ spoke to them, like Christ is speaking to you this evening through the word of God. You think yourself maybe removed from the Jews, maybe you're thinking slightly critical of the Jews. How could they not believe? But you're the same. The Christ is speaking to you this evening. Unless you believe I am he, you shall die in your sins. Because Christ has promised his power to come with the word of God, and the Spirit comes. And if you reject that power, you're just like the Jews in this chapter 8. Our Savior says, in effect, I am the Holy One of Israel. What a tragedy it is to see these Jews. Here was the one, the long-expected one, the one they were waiting for. I am the Holy One of Israel. How they supposedly revered God, but really, when they came face to face with the reality of God and the sacrifice for sins, they were so proud. They had no time for him. They had no time for repentance and humbling themselves and believing in a Savior who is crucified. How sad it is, how tragic, how disastrous it is, how Savior, through these words, says, I am the Lamb of God, spoken of by John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What a statement that was by John the Baptist, almost rounding off the Old Testament and saying that these sacrifices in the Old Testament, do you realize that all these lambs point to Christ, and there he is, there he is. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And Christ is saying, believe that God the Father sent me. You see, here we see, don't we, a picture of tonight, the cynical heart. But the truth as glorious, undaunted by the cynicism of unbelievers. And only shows up the darkness of the unbeliever. But the truth was there before them and is glorious before us this evening. The Father sent me. The Father placed me on the altar of sacrifice. The Father slew me. Do you understand who I am and what I have done? I believe all that is contained in our text this evening. Understand who I am, and I am Jehovah Jesus. I am the Lamb of God. If you don't believe who I am, that I am the Savior, you shall die in your sins. What is it to die in your sins? It's a dreadful phrase, isn't it? It's quite a frightening phrase. You shall die in your sins. It's a picture of filthiness, is it not? Just picture yourself now coming before God. How do you think you shall appear before him? Do you think you shall stand upright and show off some of your good deeds and good works? Oh, my dear friend, you will be before him in your rags and your filthiness. You will be a sight to behold. Your sins will seem abhorrent, even to yourself, as the light of God comes upon you. Sin is on your hands. Sin is all over you, you could say. Sin is found in all your days. As you review your life, you will just sense your sin, as our pastor emeritus preached this afternoon. The older one gets as a Christian, the more aware you are of your sin and your need of repentance, and you get a more real view of the seriousness of our sins when you go on in life and approach that day which is inevitable, that day we come before God. You're surrounded by sin. Sin is throughout your being. And you shall die in your sins, which is the judgment. You shall die in your sins. That will be your condition. It's very different from dying in righteousness. You shall die in your sins. It's an utter disaster to die in your sins to come before a holy God. Do you understand the significance of it? If you die in your sins, that is the condition in which you shall come before a holy God. A God is so holy. There is no darkness in him whatsoever. Just pure holiness, a burning holiness. And you shall come before him. You shall die in your sins, and you shall come before God in your sins. But if you believe in who Christ is, you shall be saved from your sins. Oh, this is the gospel. Oh, my dear friend, my dear, dear friend, before you this evening is the gospel which can save you from your sins. You shall die in your sins. You can be saved from your sins. It's here before you, and many of us here have proven it. We've been saved from our sins. Our sins are disastrous, but Christ has saved us from our sins. In his blood on Calvary, there he received the judgment of God, the anger of God upon our sins, and he died. That's what our sins deserved, that eternal death our sins deserved, and Christ took it. The blood represents that. Oh, you shall die in his saving blood. That's a better way to die, not die in your sins. You shall die in the blood, in the saving blood. And also you shall die in righteousness. That's how you want to die. You don't want to die in your sins. You want to die in righteousness. Well, all I can say to you is this. May you die in Christ and not in your sins. That is how to die. We shall live in Christ too. But our text this evening is about dying. You shall die in Christ and not in your sins. And that's by grace alone, by the mercy of God through Jesus Christ, who came to this world to save sinners like you, and that you might believe in him, that you might take him to yourself and have all his blessings, his merits, his righteousness, and his blood. And these are the preparations for a holy God. It's the only way. Hear the words of Scripture this evening. Our Lord is speaking to you in verse 24. If he believe not that I am he shall die in your sins. Oh, that you might believe in who he is, the glorious, wonderful Savior who came from heaven into this world, became the Lamb of God and the sacrifice, who rose from the grave in his mighty power because of who he was. You can't bury the resurrection, and rose in mighty power, ascended, and now is at the right hand of God, the mighty Jesus Christ. There he is, all power in heaven and earth. The victorious Savior. Believe in him. He is the Savior. It all hangs on this, my friend. It all hangs on this. Will you believe? Will you believe? If you believe in him, you shall be saved from your sins. Well, shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we pray that these words might indeed haunt those unbelievers who are hardening their hearts, but might haunt them to the point where they might take note of the words. We are glad to see in this chapter that many believed. Oh Lord, we pray that we might be the same this evening, that many might believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, may see the testimony of Scripture and see Christ in the Old Testament, that he is the great I Am, and he is the great sacrifice which the purposes of God had planned from eternity and placed in time, the great Calvary sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the redemption of men and women. Oh Lord, we pray that poor sinners who are in their sins, who need this Savior so much, might believe this evening, might take hold of him and find him to be a glorious and a wonderful Savior, that he might indeed be the fountain where the blood flowed in a great flow, to wash away all spot and stain until none is left and we are cleaned and washed before God and dressed in righteousness. Oh, Father God, what a gospel this is for sinners. Oh, but what darkness there is in this world too. Oh, we pray, oh Lord, have mercy. Have mercy upon those who are in our midst, who are still in their sins. And if they're still in their sins, it might well be, if nothing happens, they shall die in their sins. Oh, Lord, we pray, intervene. And intervene this evening, that thou, O Lord, would speak to them. And, Lord, might address these words personally to them, that they might understand that Christ is the Saviour. And they might look and believe and be saved by his almighty power and by the blood of the sacrifice and be dressed in his righteousness. So, Lord, we commit these important things to thee, these all important things to thee, and pray that the Spirit may press them upon our hearts. And we pray these things for thy glory. Amen.